Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to SUNY Erie for the 2025 State of the County Address. Please welcome SUNY Erie student and United States Army veteran, Sergeant Brandon Duffy, who will be leading us in tonight's Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you, Sergeant Duffy. Now, please welcome Rabbi Alex Lazarus Klein from Temple Shir Shalom, who is leading tonight's invocation.
Look around at this beautiful gathering here. Please, it's important that we know that we're all part of community together. As the psalmist tells us, Hine matov umanayim shevet achim gam yachad. How good and how pleasurable it is for us to gather together this afternoon as family, as friends, as community members, as Erie County residents, to sing the praises of this amazing place that we call home. Outside, did you notice the wonderful, glorious pink flowers of those cherry blossoms? Did you see it? Side by side, and I learned about these wonderful white flowers of the ornamental pear. These are my favorite. And the refreshing green buds of the Norway maple. Western New York sings with the sights and sounds and smells of spring. This is when we are at our finest, bathed in a beauty that is indescribable from one corner of our county to another. We live in a place of plenty, whose bounding goodness knows no bounds. Inside this room and outside are people whose strength comes from our ability to give with our full hearts to a place that is so much in all of our hearts. We offer praise to our ancestors who come from indigenous populations who go back thousands of years, to new arrivals who are just unpacking from their travels and travails. This room alone contains a collection of people whose families' journeys have no doubt taken us to every part of the spinning marble of beauty we call the earth. We give praise to the divine in whatever name we choose to call it, who fills our lives with meaning and allows us to be together today. Let us never take for granted just how very lucky we are to live in this place that not only calls Josh Allen home, but all of us as well. May God give us strength to our leaders to make decisions on behalf of all of us. Grant them soundness of mind and body, the fortitude and perseverance to face whatever nature or circumstance sends our way. May our gathering today help illuminate the best of what our county has to offer and what our country has to offer, and may we feel fully the blessing of this time and place. As the psalmist tells us, Hine matovu manayim shevet achim gam yachad. How good and how pleasurable it is for us to gather together as family, as friends, as community members, as Erie County residents to sing this praises of this amazing place we call home. God bless our county, God bless our state, and God bless our beautiful country of the United States of America. And we say, Amen.
Thank you, Rabbi Lazarus Klein. Please be seated. And now, welcome to the stage, President of SUNY Erie, Dr. Adiam Sagai.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Oh, we could do a little bit better. Good afternoon, everyone. All right. So how did you like our students greeting you? Better than ever, Cosby, right? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, again, beautiful day in Western New York. Welcome to SUNY Erie Community College. We are extremely humble and honored to be hosting the 2025 State of the County Address. I would like to start by thanking Mr. Mark Bolencott, our county exec, for his support of SUNY Erie Community College and the work that we are doing here. We are thrilled that he chose one of our beautiful campus location for this important occasion. Over the course of my presidency, I have came to know and appreciate his leadership style. From our first meeting, I knew we had one focus. From our first meeting, I knew we had a common focus on a student-first approach, institutional viability, and sustainability. Each of our monthly meetings began with talking about students, their accomplishment, their challenges, and how to ensure their success. Thank you, County Exec. One of our students, Gregory B. Jones Jr., who will be graduating this year from our culinary program, is a shining example of how so many of our students succeed through resilience. The county exec has been a fierce advocate and supporter of our college. He has been a steady face in his support, particularly during a difficult time such as the pandemic and during the statewide decline in enrollment at all community colleges. We are now at the rebound, both financially, academically, due to no small part to the strong support of a county exec and the Erie County legislator. Thank you. Thank you very much. On behalf of the residents of Erie County, the county exec has not only supported us locally, but has also advocated for us at the state level and the national level. I value his straightforward approach and appreciate our shared commitment to the advancement of our region. I believe the key to empowering any community is education. Both the county executive and the legislature have recognized the value of academic training available through SUNY Erie and how they benefit our community at large and beyond. During my time as a president, the county has provided a significant funding of capital projects and support by way of shared services. Again, thank you, County Exec. Thank you. The support from the county executive has been essential in the work to achieve sustainability for the college and provide the education and training that changes life in Western New York. I value the partnership between the county and SUNY Erie and look forward to finding even more ways to work together for our region. It is my understanding that one of the county's executive's favorite leader is Franklin D. Roosevelt, I will leave you with this saying from FDR. Equality may linger in the world of material things, but great music, great literature, great art, and the wonder of science are and should be open to all. We need to clap that. That's a wonderful quote. Now, as you know, as I mentioned, one of the main common is our student first and the county exec. That's what we start with every month that we meet. We start out with our student and how enrollment and retention is. So I think it was important for me to bring one of our students who's graduating, again, Gregory B. Join Jr., to come here to help me to introduce our county exec and to present him with a gift from our student. So Gregory. Thank you. And Gregory is graduating from our culinary program in May. Very excited. Absolutely, absolutely. So for the moment that we've been waiting for, it is my honor and privilege to have the opportunity to introduce our county exec, Mark Polignard.
Graduation. I appreciate it. Good luck with everything.
That's awesome. Thank you. I did not expect that. I should probably put it right there. Good evening. Good evening, and thank you all for joining us at SUNY Area as I provide my report to the community on the state of Erie County. Before discussing that, I would like to thank a few individuals for participating in tonight's event. Thank you to Rabbi Alex Lazarus Klein at Temple Shir Shalom providing today's thoughtful invocation. Thank you very much. Thanks also to SUNY Erie student Brandon Duffy, Sergeant, for leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you for your service to our community and wish you well during your studies here at SUNY Erie. Thank you also to everyone in attendance here tonight or those watching on Spectrum Cable News, Western New York Media, or the Erie County YouTube channel. Thank you to our interpreters, Karen Gambino and Vanessa Wisbaum, for joining us today and providing the American Sign Language for today's address. And finally, thank you to SUNY Erie President Dr. Adiam Sagai for your gracious introduction, knowing that I am a fan of FDR, and your work in turning our community college around. The college-county partnership between SUNY Erie and Erie County is the strongest it has been in years. It wasn't long ago I warned in the State of the County address that if difficult actions were not taken, the college's future would be in doubt. Since I made that statement, Madaw University is closed, but I am glad to say SUNY Erie is now on a road to a brighter future. For example, previously, SUNY Erie was not just one college located at three campuses, but was treated as if it were three separate colleges, each campus a separate institution unto itself. I bet you didn't know that. This antiquated 1960s era thinking hampered innovation and threatened its bottom line by requiring work that could be done by one person or department to be done in triplicate. I am proud to say that because of the hard work of Dr. Sagai, the Board of Trustees, the members of the Faculty Federation and Administrators Union, as well as the students, SUNY Erie is now treated by the state and internally as one college with multiple locations. This truly is huge. Because SUNY Erie has righted its ship, Erie County is willing to make significant investments in our county's community college to make it Western New York's best. As you may have heard when you entered here today, and you certainly did from the students, SUNY Erie's old sports fields are being rebuilt into modern multi-use complex for football, soccer, lacrosse, and softball. This $7.5 million project is just the first phase of a multi-phase plan for the site, with more to be announced in the coming years. In addition to these new sports facilities, we are working closely with the college as it embraces a bold new vision and location for Southern Erie County. Once again, what worked for the 1980s is an antiquated set of unnecessary buildings today. That is why, as of the end of this academic year, SUNY Erie will be moving its programs from the old campus in Hamburg to a beautiful new location in Orchard Park. New classrooms, labs, offices, and study spaces designed for the modern educational experience will greet our students this fall. This will make the SUNY Erie location the destination choice for students in Southern Erie County. I'm sure you're all wondering what will happen to the old location. We intend to sell the land to the highest bidder and invest the proceeds back into the college to continue building the new SUNY Erie. Dr. Sagai and the trustees really applauded for that. These actions, combined with the recent opening of SUNY Erie's new Auto Tech Center at Northland on Buffalo's east side, and continued reinvestment at its location downtown and here in Amherst, ensure the college's future is bright. What others could not do, create a modern SUNY Erie, we are, and the community will benefit from it from decades to come. Once again, thank you to my partners at SUNY Erie who worked very hard to make it happen. I appreciate it. In recent State of the County addresses, I have outlined agenda for making substantive changes to some longtime common practices in Erie County. Shaking up the status quo isn't always easy and often meets with resistance, as we found with SUNY Erie. But just saying that's the way things have been done isn't enough when things can be done more efficiently, more economically, and with better results for our community. Just because an issue is difficult doesn't mean it should be ignored or left for someone else to fix. In our constitutional government, everyone has certain guaranteed rights, including criminal defendants. Upholding these rights require competent counsel for each criminal defendant, no matter their ability to pay for a criminal defense attorney. Providing that representation is not cheap. Last year, my budget office estimated county taxpayers spent over $17 million, and these costs are increasing. At last year's State of the County, I challenged our legal community to examine how we provide these services. I formed a task force of some of the brightest practitioners in our community to examine our system of indigent defense, which has existed for generations but has never truly been evaluated. I thank Judge Susan Egan and former District Attorney John Flynn for heading that task force. Because of the task force's analysis, we will try something different. We will restructure how we provide these services by moving towards an institutional provider and away from our current model that relies on private attorneys. Over the next few years, the Legal Aid Bureau of Buffalo will expand its jurisdiction to include all felony charges in the city of Buffalo, except for homicides, and include all criminal defendants in Cheektowaga. I am happy to announce the New York State Office of Indigent Legal Services will assist us in the transition and, very importantly, pay for the cost. As this transition occurs, we will evaluate it and reevaluate it. We will ensure that criminal defendants, regardless of income level, receive competent legal representation, but in the most efficient way possible. Additionally, the task force will begin to review how indigent parties are represented in family court, a completely different type of system than traditional criminal courts. Thank you to Judge Egan, former District Attorney Flynn, and all the task force members for your great work. I truly appreciate it. Now, sometimes things beyond your control hold up our ability to make substantive changes as you expected. but you still persevere onward. One such project has been the expansion of the Buffalo and Erie County Botanical Gardens, a facility owned by the people of Erie County. In 2019, you'll see the young guy on the screen, I joined then Gardens President David Swartz to announce the county would invest millions of dollars in a project to greatly expand the facility, primarily to increase event space, thereby making the not-for-profit organization that runs the gardens more economically independent. Yeah, I was younger. What we could not foresee was within the next year, the COVID pandemic would strike, and following the pandemic's end, prices for construction would greatly increase, so much so the original plans had to be scrapped. The project floundered until the gardens hired Mark Mortensen to get it back on schedule. Unfortunately, we were all shocked when Mark passed much too early, leaving a huge hole to fill and putting the project in jeopardy again. I'm proud to say the county has committed an additional $2 million to the project, increasing our financial commitment to $7 million to see it to the finish, and construction will start this year. Thank you to New Gardens President Erin Graycheck and her team, as well as our team from the Department of Public Works, for seeing this project through. And I want to publicly honor the work of Mark Mortensen, who contributed so much to our community at the Museum of Science, Richardson Complex, and finally at the Botanical Gardens. We miss you, Mark, and we will always remember your service to our community. Thank you. Very soon, construction will commence and the 125-year-old gardens will become new again, thereby honoring its wonderful historic past and ensuring a strong future for another century. Speaking of history, one of the most important ways we honor our past is by understanding how it has shaped our present and will guide our future. That is precisely the mission of the Erie County Historical Commission. Over the past year, the commission has worked to highlight our region's profound impact on our nation's history. From presenting Constitution Day programming, commemorating the upcoming 200th anniversary of the Erie Canal, an engineering marvel that helped shape American commerce, to preparing for the 250th anniversary of our nation's founding. Additionally, the commission is focused on increasing civics education in our schools. It is quite clear that many of our fellow citizens had little to no civics education because they lack a basic understanding of our system of government, both at the national and local levels. That is why the Erie County Historical Commission has partnered with the New York Public History Trust to bring Kids Voting USA back to New York State, beginning with Erie County. Kids Voting USA is a nonpartisan, grassroots-driven voter education program committed to creating lifelong voting habits in children, increasing family communication about engaged citizenship, and encouraging greater adult voter turnout. I am pleased to announce that this June primary election will feature a designated kids voting location for early voting at the Theodore Roosevelt inaugural site, and we look to expand it afterwards. I thank the members of the Historical Commission who are here today. As a token of appreciation for everyone's attendance, I hope you will accept, on behalf of the Historical Commission, our small gift of a pocket-sized version of the Constitution of the United States and a Historical Commission bookmark. I ask you to frequently reflect upon those who came before us to create the Constitution, amend it, and ensure that the United States of America continues to be a shining beacon of democratic hope to all others worldwide. Now, I'll return to this theme later in my address. But when it comes to children, we are not just helping them become more civic-minded, we are addressing their mental health needs. Our Erie Path mental health app is an unqualified success. More than 336,000 individual users of all ages across the region have accessed it since it was launched in 2023. We know many of those users are parents seeking information on the mental health resources available for their children. In the next few months, we will improve the app by improving offering distinct versions for Apple and Android devices and update it for better user interface. But that's not all we are doing to improve youth mental health. We will also expand on the very successful Erie County Smart Collaborative. SMART is a pre-K through 12th grade professional learning community organized by Erie One BOCES to prioritize student mental health and social-emotional learning. It is comprised of Erie County school districts, educators, community agencies, and representatives from across the county, including county government. SMART serves as a vital link between valuable mental health resources and students. With more than 200 active members and nearly 500 participating online, we will engage more partners and assist more children this year. I thank Deputy County Executive Lisa Shimera, who is leading these efforts, and our educational community partners. The work of the SMART Collaborative is improving children's lives, which we can all be proud of. Thank you all. As an elected official in a representative government, I work for the people, regardless of whether they are taxpayers at their point in their lives. We must never forget that. We work for the people and should hear from our bosses about the government and services they want. That is why I am holding town hall meetings across the county and announcing today Envision Erie, our new resident survey initiative. This is your chance to help shape the county's future. We want your input. This survey will provide a platform for our residents to voice their needs and priorities, ensuring that county policies and initiatives reflect the community's concerns. It will focus on key issues such as housing affordability, health care, infrastructure, education, public transportation, and youth services, just to name a few. To ensure broad input, we will work with community leaders to offer the survey online, on social media, and in paper form at local community centers. Once completed, the results will be analyzed and published in a report that will guide a resident-driven action plan, making our county government more responsive, effective, and aligned with the needs of our community. You're going to hear a lot more about Envision Erie coming soon. When we hear from our constituents, they often comment on the excellent condition of our incredible Erie County park system. We've invested tens of millions of dollars in our parks, and we have more news to report. As we recently announced, Erie County has agreed to take ownership of the site of the former Westwood Country Club, also known as Amherst Central Park, from the town of Amherst. The transfer will take place in two phases. Phase one, this year. Transfer the park property from the town of Amherst to Erie County, except the southeastern corner, which is slated for recreational development. And transfer after transfer of the other parts, Erie County Department of Parks will assume maintenance of the acreage and retain a contractor to restore 9 holes of the former golf course, including 7 of the original Willowdale golf course, the forerunner to Westwood, which just happens to be designed by Willie Park Jr., the 1887 and 1889 Open Championship winner and designer of famous courses worldwide. Bet you didn't know that. The end goal will be the restoration of a 9-hole golf course for public use, and the rest of the property will be turned into a passive park with walking trails, interpretive signage, and wildlife viewing areas. During phase two, the town of Amherst will construct those recreation amenities in the southeastern corner of the property, including an accessible playground, restroom, and parking lot using grant funding it has received from New York State. Once that work is complete, all of the park will be transferred to Erie County, and we intend to rename it Willowdale Park in honor of its original name. Now I ask you to watch this video from our Parks Commissioner Troy Sinzel to learn more about the future Willowdale Park.
Hello, I'm Troy Sinzel, Erie County's Commissioner of Parks, Recreation, and Forestry. In context, this parcel, 171 acres, is actually larger than Ellicott Creek Park, which of course is one of our 5 heritage parks. Very exciting project. While we, Erie County, is working on the golf course and fixing up major renovations to the pro shop, the town of Amherst will be working on building an accessible playground, a restroom facility, and an event space. But I will tell you, our focus will be on passive recreation, environmental education, and just amenities throughout the site. All in all, the entire 171 acres will become Erie County parkland, added to our 10,000 acres, to become a regional destination for all.
Willowdale Park will join the 10,000 plus acres of public park and forest land maintained by our Parks Department and fill a geographic gap in its collection. I thank Parks Commissioner Troy Schinzel and his team for making this a reality. I thank my partners in the legislature who've been very supportive of this since we announced it. And Amherst Supervisor Brian Culpa for his foresight and great work in beginning this project. This year is Supervisor Culpa's final year as supervisor, and I thank him for his service to the community as supervisor and as Williamsville mayor. I ask Supervisor Culpa if he's here to stand so that we may all thank you. Thank you, Supervisor Culpa. As I have said in many addresses before, Erie County will address issues facing our community that the private sector will not, especially when protecting our residents' health. The Erie County Ambulance Service began in September of 2023 to do just that and has changed the health outcomes of our rural residents by responding to over 2,000 calls and counting. Erie County now provides critical safety net coverage to volunteer fire companies and other primary services in rural towns where ambulance response times were close to 30 minutes, if an ambulance came at all. When it comes to saving our constituents' lives in a medical emergency, every minute counts, and it is imperative that help arrive as quickly as possible. That is why we created the ambulance service, which has been another unqualified success. Don't believe me? Watch this video from Colvin Supervisor Jim DePasquale to see how important this service is.
Hi, I'm Jim DePasquale, supervisor of the town of Colden. When Erie County launched its own ambulance service in 2023, it provided a safety net coverage to towns like ours. Towns that are struggling to keep the ambulance wait times down due to the lack of commercial providers available, while volunteer companies struggle to find recruits. I am happy to report that since launching in the town of Colden, Erie County Ambulance Services has dropped wait times from 25 minutes to 10 minutes, minutes that are critical for those who call for help, be it for themselves or a loved one experiencing a medical emergency. This service is saving lives, and I encourage other towns to consider partnership with Erie County as they expand their ambulance service.
Thank you, Supervisor DePasquale. And thank you to all the other supervisors who called for it, and we made this a reality, and we've partnered together. So thank you all. Now, Erie County is not the only government to take it on this service, which is as essential as police and fire. The town of Tonawanda will be launching its own primary ambulance service this year. And I am happy to announce that Erie County will provide backup coverage to the town, just like we currently do in our southern rural towns. And thank you to all who made the ambulance service the success it is. Another way we can improve health outcomes is by creating a heart-safe community. My 2024 State of the County put Erie County on a path to secure Citizen CPR heart-safe community designation. We have since applied for it. We're looking forward to hearing the result. But I'm even more prouder of the work Erie County has completed with numerous community partners, such as the Buffalo Bills, Dr. Les Bisson of UBMD, the American Heart Association, the American Red Cross, and our own health department staff. They have trained more than 140,000 residents in CPR, distributed over 150 AEDs, and done so much more. While we are close to receiving the HeartSafe designation, with or without it, these actions alone will improve the chances of survival during a sudden cardiac event. To keep this momentum going, I have asked the legislature to designate $50,000 more to distribute more AEDs in communities without them. I saw the legislators were clapping, so it means I guess they will approve it. Training individuals in CPR and use of AED saves lives. Let me tell you the story of one person who used his training to make a difference and save a life. Louis Sukala is one of our trusted building guards in the Rath building. All building guards are trained in CPR. This past year, Louis put his CPR training to the test when a client in the clerk's DMV office downtown had a cardiac event. Louis immediately recognized the problem and performed CPR until an ambulance could arrive, thereby saving the person's life. Louis Sukala is here today. I ask Louis to stand. Louis, on behalf of the people of Erie County, thank you for what you did in saving our neighbor's life. Thank you. Come up here. Thank you, Louis. Good job. We all appreciate it. Protecting and promoting the public's health is a key component of the social determinants of health, the guiding force behind our Livable Erie's efforts, and is ensuring safe and quality housing. Erie County continues to advance our $20 million affordable housing initiative. Last year, I announced our investment of $6.5 million of American Rescue Plan assistance for affordable multi-unit projects, which leveraged $340 million of private sector investment to develop 750 affordable housing units across Erie County. This year, we have just broken ground on 47 new affordable single-family homes in the city of Buffalo and 5 in the town of Cheektowaga to fill holes in neighborhoods to strengthen them and rebuild neighborhoods demolished by previous poor policy. This is only our first phase of this initiative, as we will recycle proceeds from the sale of these homes to build more affordable houses in Erie County. As a result of these efforts, more than 800 units of new affordable housing will be built in our community, in addition to nearly 900 other units being constructed at other developments across our county, like the important Perry Homes Project, the North Odd Block, and many other projects across the community, all helping to alleviate the housing shortage and creating new neighborhoods where there were none. I want to thank our partners in this endeavor, Mayor Chris Scanlon of the City of Buffalo, Supervisor Brian Nowak of the Town of Cheektowaga, Legislature Chair Tim Myers and the entire legislature, as well as the members of the Land Bank for their efforts to move this important initiative forward. Thank you all. Now, you can't talk about housing without talking about those without a home. Every region of the United States is dealing with issues related to homelessness. On average, Erie County houses more than 400 people every night in either shelters or hotels. These are not immigrants. These are our own citizens, and we have a legal and moral responsibility to house them. It is very expensive to house our citizens in hotels and shelters. Last year, Erie County paid $11 million in total, $4.5 million of which was our local share. Some of this occurs in summer when our Code Blue program shuts down as the temperature warms. That is why this year we are investing $700,000 of last year's surplus to keep our Code Blue shelter open 365 days a year.
Thank you.
This will ensure we can safely house those without a home and do it more economically. I thank our Commissioner Karen Rabicki and her Department of Social Services team for their work on this initiative, and our shelter partner Sylvia's House for their important work helping some of our most vulnerable citizens. Thank you all. Another important aspect of addressing housing insecurity is the growing cost of rental properties nationwide and in Western New York. Unfortunately, too many people risk losing their homes because they can't afford an increase in their rent. That is why Senator Sean Ryan fought to get his rental arrears program passed, prevent those with incomes from being evicted. Erie County received more than $2 million to help families across the community, and we currently have helped 141 families avoid eviction, and we'll be helping more families throughout the year. Thank you to Senator Ryan for fighting for this program and Governor Hochul for ensuring it was part of the budget. As we all know, our friends in state government are still in Albany dealing with the budget. So I thank them all for the work in ensuring that this program prevents people from being evicted from their homes. Thank you. Now, we can't talk about keeping someone in their home without discussing the biggest home construction project in the county's history, the new home for the Buffalo Bills. Construction continues rapidly at the corner of Abbott Road and Southwestern Boulevard in Orchard Park. And the number of materials and labor involved shows what a significant project this is for our community. More than 20,000 pieces of steel, 223,000 bolts, and thousands upon thousands of tons of concrete have already been installed. Now let's hear from our Commissioner of Public Works, Bill Geary, to explain more about this huge project.
Hello, I'm Bill Geary, Commissioner of Public Works for Erie County. Come with me for a behind-the-scenes look at the future home of the Buffalo Bills.
The main arteries, the heart and blood of the stadium is actually starting to be turned on. That's where, on this stadium, the buses, the team buses will come in, the referees, everybody will come into the stadium. And then this side here, this will be a big glass wall. This is the actual suite side where all the major suites are, and the Bills side, the home side will be on the west side here. Conference room space in there even. The Bills anticipate, you know, doing over 1,000 events a year. And an event could be anything from 20 people up to a game day event. So it's really exciting time, the halfway point here, as the actual stadium becomes not just seeing it come out of the ground and look like a stadium, but it's starting to come alive too.
Thank you, Commissioner Geary. On average, 1,000 workers on the site each day, with it expected to increase by 1,500 in August. The vast majority of whom are Western New Yorkers, because I demanded and got a strong project labor agreement, as well as prevailing wage and apprenticeship requirements for this project. Thank you. If you have been on site, you realize how big the stadium is, not just in size, but an economic impact on the community. I thank my partners in Erie County government, New York Governor Kathy Hochul and our local state delegation, Terry and Kim Pagula and the entire Bills family, as well as our local building trades for their investment in the community and for ensuring the Bills call Erie County home for the next 30 years. Thank you and go Bills! Now, my administration has always prioritized protecting Lake Erie. No project demonstrates our strong and lasting commitment to stewardship for our natural resources more than the South Towns Advanced Wastewater Treatment Facility Expansion Project. The South Towns Treatment Facility went online in 1980 to serve numerous areas south of Buffalo. There's County Executive Ed Rutkowski. After over four decades of use, this critical facility requires upgrades. Now, no one wants to think about what happens when a sewage treatment facility doesn't work right, but when it fails, the you-know-what hits the fan, and that is unacceptable. Expanding the South Towns treatment facility is a generational project for our community. The first phase of construction was awarded in late 2023, and it's been ongoing for approximately 15 months. This $55 million investment transforms the site by installing a new effluent pumping station, a new chlorine contact tank, various hydraulic improvements, a new electrical substation, a new Prantwide generator, and so much more. It is expected that most of the first phase of construction will be completed by the end of the year. Design of phase two of the expansion project was completed in February and is presently undergoing regulatory review. With cost estimates for phase two above $125 million, enormous new facilities will be built. We aim to bid phase two of the Southtown's expansion project later this year, with construction expected to be completed in late 2029. That's how big that project is. Investing in the Southtown's treatment facility is incredibly important because it will enhance Lake Erie's protection, further safeguard public health, and offer key support for our local community and our economy's future needs. I thank Environment and Planning Commissioner Dan Castle and Deputy Commissioner Joe Fiegel for their leadership of this and the Sewer District Board of Managers, as well as the legislature, for supporting this very important but expensive project. Thank you all. Last year was a busy one for our ErieNet initiative as we continued the groundwork for a transformative fiber project. And this year promises to be a building year that makes this community-changing initiative a reality. Early this month, we began installing fiber optic cable in the town of Boston. And soon, we will be installing similar high-speed broadband cables across the entire county. ErieNet also started collaborating with NYTEC, GBNRTC, NYSDOT, and Tonawanda to partner with grant applications to secure funding to build a regional smart traffic signal network, which will allow emergency vehicles and bus transit to prioritize traffic signals. And ErieNet's fiber municipal network will be a large asset for the project. ErieNet will continue to be a key tool as we build our economy. This economy continues to grow and diversify. But it took a gut punch this past year when Sumitomo Rubber announced it was closing its Tonawanda facility and laying off 1,500 employees. This callous decision to close was made in a Japanese boardroom without regard for the local impact and could have substantially reduced our economy. That's why I announced the creation of the Sumitomo Task Force to assist the workers in finding new employment, upskill them if necessary, and determine a long-term use of the site that benefits our region. I thank my fellow task force members, including Tonawanda Supervisor Joe Eminger, our partners from Governor Hochul's office, the steelworkers, and our region's economic development team for their good work to address the community's needs. Because of the work of many, including what we've accomplished during the last decade, our economy is diversified and has been able to handle the blow. In fact, the county's unemployment rate decreased in the months following the announcement, as many employees could find employment elsewhere. There are 4,300 more jobs as of March 2025 compared to March 2024, even including the Sumitomo closure. Our work regarding the Sumitomo closure is not done. We need to find a permanent economic productive use for the site and not let it rot, as occurred in the 1980s when Bethlehem Steel closed. We also need to ensure that every worker who lost their job is reemployed, and we will because of the work of the task force. Thank you all. Speaking of the former Bethlehem Steel site, the county, through Industrial Land Development Corporation, recently awarded a contract to a New Jersey developer to begin the second phase of the Renaissance Commerce Park's development. This developer, J.G. Petrucci, has reimagined a former Bethlehem Steel site in Pennsylvania and is ecstatic about this opportunity in Erie County. More than $100 million of private sector investment was made during the first phase of the Commerce Park's redevelopment, and I feel very confident a similar investment will occur during the next second phase, resulting in even more jobs. At the Agribusiness Park in Evans, we have finalized our master plan, created a new logo and marketing materials, demolished the old airplane hangars on the site, began construction on the first new road on the property, and already have multiple business interests who are excited about investing it. This is all part of our efforts to grow our economy, and it is working. The county's unemployment rate stands at a low 4.2%, and more jobs are coming because multiple projects bringing hundreds of millions of dollars of new private sector investment were announced just during the past year alone. Decorators, a Michigan-based composite decking company, is investing $77 million to build a new manufacturing and warehouse facility in Lackawanna. The project will bring at least 50 new good-paying jobs to the region. West Seneca-based Rosina Foods will invest another $30 million to expand its manufacturing facility by a third. They will allow it to relocate out-of-state work to Erie County, create 53 new jobs on top of the nearly 200 it currently has, and increase its meatball and ravioli production by 20 million pounds annually. Mamma mia, that's a lot of tasty meatballs. Upstate Niagara Dairy Cooperative will invest $150 million to build a 250,000 square foot manufacturing facility in West Seneca, thereby creating 130 new jobs on top of the current 240. The facility will support all of its dairy projects, including mine and yours favorite chip dip for Bills games, Bison French Onion Dip. Agile Cold Storage of Georgia will invest $46 million to construct a 110,000 square foot facility in West Seneca, meeting the needs of our food production industry and creating 55 new jobs. And those four projects alone, nearly $400 of new private sector investment and 228 jobs are coming to Erie County, and I know more is on the way. The state of Erie County is strong. We currently have the highest credit rating, AA, and the lowest tax rate we've had in modern history. Our unemployment is low, and companies are moving here to capitalize on our resources, especially our strong workforce and our abundant clean water supply. We have more work to do to ensure everyone can capitalize on the new Buffalo, but there is no doubt we have changed our community for the better. Thank you. Thank you. Unfortunately, one very dark cloud could set this all back. I cannot stand before you tonight and ignore the elephant in the room, which is the actions being taken by our president, Elon Musk, and others to reshape our democratic republic, as well as the president's unjustified attack on Canadian sovereignty and harmful implementation of tariffs. As we all know, we sit on an international border. Our two great regions of Western New York and Southern Ontario are socially and economically interdependent in almost every way possible. For more than 200 years, we have all benefited from this relationship, one based on friendship, trust, and mutual respect. In less than 90 days, President Trump did more to damage that relationship than anything that has occurred since the War of 1812. By stabbing our Canadian neighbors in the back in his ridiculous call to make Canada our 51st state. This has led, justifiably so, to Canadians looking elsewhere for vacations, day trips, or investments in our country. Traffic from Canada to the United States is substantially down at all of our local border crossings. It is hurting our regional economies, and I could not stand by and let centuries of goodwill come crashing down because of our president's actions. That is why I joined seven other officials, four from Ontario and three from Western New York, to form the Niagara Eight and advocate for an end to this harmful trade war and restore the friendly relationship that has always existed between our two great peoples. As we know, this is not a battle between nations and people. It is a problem with our president, and we will not sit idly by and let his actions harm our friendship and economies. I thank my fellow Niagarite members for their advocacy and their friendship. We are better and stronger when we are all united in our efforts. And I know some of them are here today. And I ask you to stand so we may all thank you. Niagara Region Chair Jim Bradley, Fort Erie Mayor Wei Rennekop, Niagara Falls, Ontario Mayor Jim Diodati, Niagara on the Lake Mayor Gary Zalepa, Buffalo Mayor Chris Scanlon, Niagara County Chair Rebecca Wittish, and New York Mayor Robert Restaino. Thank you all. George Santayana famously said, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." History is clear regarding tariffs and trade wars. No one wins at a trade war. The imposition of tariffs and attack on Canadian sovereignty are just one part of a growing attack on our democratic form of government. It includes the president's brazen attempt to increase the executive's power by cutting congressionally authorized programs. As the former controller who created the whistleblower hotline, I fully support cutting waste, fraud, and abuse from government. However, that is not what the president, Elon Musk, and Doge are doing. Fiscal responsibility cannot be achieved by dismantling the programs that created most Americans' economic security and upward mobility. Yes, the American people voted for change, but they did not vote for gutting Medicaid, the health care plan for 30% of our county and country citizens. They did not vote for implementing tariffs against our best friend, Canada, which is hurting our region's economy. They did not vote for agents of the government accosting and picking up legal residents against their will and shipping them overseas. They did not vote to dismantle the Department of Education and Head Start, both of which will hurt our children. They did not vote for attacks on science and cuts to cancer research centers like UB and Roswell Park, which will inevitably hurt us all. They did not vote for any of this just to pay for tax cuts for Elon Musk and billionaires. Thank you. Thank you. And they certainly did not vote for the removal of the names of the Tuskegee Airmen, Jackie Robinson, Harry Tubman, and many others from our government's account of our own history. Thank you. Thank you. Nor did they vote for attacks on the Smithsonian Institution, all under the pretense of ending a divisive race-based ideology. Which begs the questions, if they did that to end divisive race-based ideology, what else are they going after? Is the incredibly important and powerful National Museum of African American History and Culture divisive? Is the museum's display of shackles worn by an enslaved person divisive? Is a reminder in the Smithsonian Museums that many of our founders were also slave owners divisive? If all of these examples fall under the banner of divisive race-based ideology, what is acceptable? Just as important, who gets to determine what is divisive and acceptable? Thank you. The museums of the Smithsonian Institution tell the story of America, including all the horrible parts of slavery, the Jim Crow system of racial segregation and discrimination, and modern-day racism, as we saw in our community in 2022. What is occurring is nothing more than a blatant attempt to rewrite history, to whitewash the past, to describe an America that has never existed. It is another example. Thank you. It is just another example of actions taken in autocratic states, not in a democracy. In a constitutional republic, we can and should have differences of opinion and debate on the issues. Yet we should never try to destroy competing viewpoints just because we don't like them or accept them. As our late, great U.S. Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan said, everyone is entitled to his own opinion, but not his own facts. Thank you. I cannot stand by and do nothing when the core principles of our republic are at stake. When our democracy is at risk, none of us can remain silent. That is just one reason why I directed our county attorney to sue the Trump administration over its plan to end a grant to help seniors, because we serve a diverse population and set of organizations. A lawsuit that resulted in the Trump administration backing down, which was a small win for our community's efforts. A small win for our community's efforts to promote diversity, equity, and inclusion. I will never refrain from calling out undemocratic and un-American actions, and I will file additional suits if necessary to protect our way of life. Every generation faces a critical test. This is ours. I ask you to join me in standing up to these attacks on our republic, because democracy is not a spectator sport, and democracies can fail. When it was created, our form of government was referred to as the American experiment, because it was entirely distinct from every other form of government that then existed, and its success was uncertain. Today, too many people have been lulled into a false sense of our government's permanence. They believe because it has existed for nearly 250 years, it will continue in perpetuity. In truth, it took a horrific civil war to keep the Union together and eliminate the original sin of slavery from our Constitution. It required the voices of countless others to stand up against racism and oppression for our nation to truly become, as President Lincoln said, the last best hope of Earth. Today's battle is not between the North and South, nor is it a political battle over Republican and Democratic ideals. It is a fight to protect personal liberty, ensure the full due process of law for all persons, and affirm, as generations have been before, that in our society, nothing, nothing is more sacred than the rule of law. Thank you. In short, it is a fight between what is right and wrong. There is no guarantee our democracy will endure for another 250 years, or even during our lifetimes. History reminds us, when we sit back and hope others will speak out against unjust actions taken towards minorities and marginalized people, eventually they will come for you, and there will be no one left to speak for you. The true rulers of our government, the people, must fight for the democratic ideals that have made America great since its founding. Only then will this grand experiment continue on its course to form a more perfect union for all. Please do not stand on the sidelines and hope things turn out well. Your fellow citizens and your country need you. Thank you all, and may God grant us the wisdom and the strength to do what is right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you all. May God bless our country and wish you all a good night. Thank you all.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. A new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer, where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads, we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series, where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.